No further ado, we'll get into the message. If you would take your Bibles, stand with me if you could, if you're willing and able, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians and chapter number 4. Love the book of Philippians. It's an encouraging book. It's really the main purpose that the Apostle Paul had in writing this book was to help that church in Philippi. That's why it's called Philippians. I know, mind blown. Philippians, church in Philippi. And he was writing to that church to encourage them to know how to have joy and peace. That's what Ellis has pointed to this book. And it's pretty incredible to think about that he wrote this book about joy and peace while he was in prison. In prison for nothing he did wrong, just because he was preaching the word of God to people, he was telling people about Christ. The society at the time did not like that, and they put him in prison just because of that reason. And he's there, you know, in chains and in a gross, nasty prison, writing to this church about how that they can have joy and peace. It's pretty incredible. And we're learning tonight about how that we can have true joy and true peace from a man who's sitting in prison. Remember that as we read these verses here. Now, our text starts in verse 4, but just to get a running start, we'll start in verse 1. And he's closing out his book. This is the last chapter. He's closing out the letter here. And he says this in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, says, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be in the same name of the same mind in the Lord. Aren't you glad that no one's named Syntyche anymore? Life would be so much harder if we had those names. John would have been easier, or Peter. Anyways, go back to the thing. Verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose name are in the book of life. And so he's writing to them that they would stand fast in the Lord. And really he's addressing this. The reason he's had to stand fast is because that in this time, as evidenced by Paul in prison, there was persecution to Christians. There was persecution to those who believed like this church in Philippi believed, and that would cause in them anxiety and fear and worry. And so he addressed those specific people, but now he's addressing the entire church, and he wants them to know how that they can deal with this anxiety that they would be built up in the situation that they're in. And this is how he does. Just a few quick things that he says. Verse 4, and this is where our text starts. Rejoice in the Lord always. And remember where Paul is, there in the prison. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. And that word be careful literally means be anxious for nothing. There should never be anxiety, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Now, peace would be the opposite of anxiety, isn't that right? And that's what peace is, the opposite. We'll talk more about that. The peace of God, the source of peace being God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. We'll stop our reading right there. And we're going to talk about tonight, consider this subject, to allow the God of peace to remove your anxiety. Understand? Allow the God of peace, the one who is the source of peace, allow the God of peace to remove your anxiety. And that means you can't do it. Allow him to do it. And we'll talk about a few ways to do that this evening. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again so much for this great day that you allowed us to come and gather together. And thank you for these people that we can encourage each other to serve you and to grow together and to serve together. Thank you for that. Could you bless them as they continue to grow closer to you? Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the truths that are in this text tonight. And we just thank you in advance what you're going to do in the hearts of your people. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So anxiety. It's a real problem, isn't it, in our society? Anxiety. And that's not, I mean, I don't think I need to do anything to prove that to you. It is. It's in our society. But what is that, to be anxious? What is anxiety, really? It really is this. It's a distress or uneasiness of mind. That's what the dictionary would say. Anxiety is distress or easiness of mind. It's an inner thing. It's a state of inner unrest. Make sense? An inner unrest. Now, you can be outside just fine and dandy, but it's an inner, nobody sees it but you, inner unrest. It's to be overly worried about something. To think too hard about something. To think too much about something. To be taken over by that. Maybe you're worried about a certain financial trouble and it's causing you to stress out some. Been there. Yeah. Maybe you can't stop thinking about a problem that's happened in your past and it's causing an inner bitterness within you or a stress within you an inner unrest. It'd be unsettled inside. Maybe you're feeling inadequate for something and it's causing you to worry. Or maybe it's just a general inner unrest and anxiety, and maybe you just don't totally understand why you're feeling this way. You know you are, and you might be able to think of a few things, but you don't really know why. You just feel unrest inside. You feel unsettled. And there's an infinite list of ways that we can try to explain this inner unrest that we all feel at times, but it really is this. In the end, it's this. It's the opposite of peace. Isn't that right? That anxiety would be the opposite, the totally other side of the spectrum of peace. Yep. Of true peace. And people turn to a lot of things to help with their anxiety, don't they? I mean, some people turn to chocolate, right? Yeah, you sit there and not feeling good, just bust out a huge box of chocolates, you know, your stash. Yeah, I know you got it. You don't have to. I know it's there. Some people turn to getting in their comfy clothes and grabbing a salty snack and sitting on their couch and just zoning out, right? Watching some soap opera or some Hallmark movie and thinking about everybody else's problems that don't exist on the TV, right? Instead of thinking about your own, some people do that to help with their anxiety. Some people turn to absorbing themselves in a fantasy novel, right? Just totally, totally leave this world. Right, and get in some weird fantasy world that doesn't exist. And the reason for that is that they want to get away from this life. They don't want to think about the stresses and the worries of this life or a video game or a role-playing game, and we're just going to become someone else. I don't really want to think about what's going on here and the problems and stresses and worries of this life, so I'm going to absorb myself into this fantasy land. And that's the thing. People do that to help with their anxiety. Some people turn to mind-altering drugs. Isn't that right? Like alcohol or illegal drugs or prescription drugs that they shouldn't be taking. And they do those things, why? To try and mask the anxiety within them, the unrest that's within them, to try and escape, really, the unrest that is within them. And some people just turn to other prescription drugs and things like that. And there's something to be said for chemical imbalances and things like that, but I think it's true that also people turn to these to escape the anxieties and the worries and the stresses of their life. I think that's true. But in the end, all of those they're really just a way to mask the symptoms of a problem and not get to the root of it, but to mask the symptoms, to mask the symptoms of what the true problem really is. And whenever those, the problem is always there, and whenever it rears itself up, then you're going to go and turn to the chocolate or to the video game or to the thing and try to just mask it and pretend like it doesn't exist. But really, the problem of anxiety, it's a spiritual issue in the end. The problem of anxiety is a spiritual battle that happens within you. And that's why it's inward. That's why it's an inner unrest. It's a spiritual warfare. And the reality is that true, lasting peace can only come from the God of peace. True, lasting peace. You can have a shallow peace that, you got that financial bill taken care of, and wow, that's awesome, and you feel relieved, but it'll come again, because it's fleeting. It's not true, lasting peace. You may have put a Band-Aid on it for a while, but true peace that is there no matter what situation of life that you're in, that kind of peace, the peace that Paul had while he's really quite literally rotting in jail, and he had this peace, that only comes from the God of peace. Yeah. And do you know that God doesn't want you to live a life filled with anxiety? He doesn't want you to, in your life, fleeting around from shallow relief to shallow relief and having that cycle of, I feel okay today, and then my problem that I'm worried about is taken care of, and so then I feel good, and then something else comes up, and I'm anxious again, and then I take care of that, and I'm okay, and then something else comes up, and I'm anxious again, and that cycle of unrest, God doesn't want for you to live that way. He doesn't. He doesn't want you to do that. He desperately wants to remove the anxiety from your life. He does. It's evident from this text. The God of peace. He wants to be with you. And he wants to give you the peace of God. And it can only come from him. And he wants desperately to give that to you. But he won't force that upon you either. He won't. He's there watching you live your life. And he's watching you struggle through this life. And have the inner unrest that you have along the way. And he wants to give this to you. But oftentimes we just won't let him. Maybe sometimes we don't even realize that we won't let him. But I think hopefully by the end of this message we'll understand how that we actually prevent him from giving him the peace that he wants to give us. From him giving us the peace that he wants to give us. In our text this evening, the Apostle Paul, we already talked about this, he's writing to that church at Philippi. And in some ways, they have allowed he's trying to give them some ways that they can allow the God of peace to remove their anxiety. And this is a church that he planted. He was writing back to them to help them to have joy and peace in their life while he was in prison. And so obviously the Apostle Paul, he was not talking about a shallow joy and peace that's only there when times are good. He's writing about this while he himself is experiencing a very discomfort, an uncomfortable time. He is experiencing this, and he is offering it while he's having, really on the outside and humanly speaking, a terrible experience, offering this peace of God to them. So obviously it's not a shallow joy and a quick fix that he's talking about. He's not talking about how to remove problems from their life. Because really, that's what we try to do oftentimes is, hey, if I have anxiety and it's caused by this problem, then what I need to do is remove that problem. And that's not the solution that Paul gives. He's not talking about how he's going to bust out of prison, right? He's not giving them a step-by-step, okay, I got this spoon that they gave me, and I'm going to tuck it away, and I'm going to dig a hole and get out of here, and then my anxieties will be gone. He doesn't mention that at all, because that's not how you fix anxiety. That's not how you settle your unsettled heart. By getting rid of the problems that you think are causing your anxiety. That's not how you do it. And that's not the solution that Paul gives the church there. The Apostle Paul was in prison because he was telling people about Jesus, and now he's offering this peace. And if you truly want to deal with your problem of anxiety, you have to realize that the problem is not the things that you have to face. The problem is a spiritual problem that must be dealt with God's way. And in the end, the situations of your life are simply doing this, revealing the problem that's within you. That's all that those things do. Whenever you're facing a situation and you get in the situation and you're anxious and you're worried and you're stressed and you're about to pull your hair out, hey, the problem is not the situation you're in. That situation is simply pointing out to you your inner problem, your spiritual battle that you're facing. And that is only going to be taken care of God's way. There's a book that Pastor's actually going through, so he may have talked about this already in Sunday school, called Changed Into His Image. And I don't know, has he talked about the tea bag thing? So basically what he's saying is we are all like tea bags, and so we're that porous material is around us, and what's inside of us is there, and it's kept in real tight until hot water comes, right? Now, what makes the tea the flavor that it is not the hot water, right? What makes the tea the flavor that it is what's inside of the tea bag. And the hot water, all it does is extracts what's already inside. And whenever we go through problems in life and go through situations that are difficult and rough, and things come out of us, and anger and bitterness and stress and worry, that comes out of us, really it's just an indication that that was already in us. And we need to learn to deal with those things, and it's a spiritual battle, and they can only be dealt with spiritually. They can only be dealt with God's way. You're not going to find true peace by removing the difficult times from your life. You're not going to find true peace by turning to the world for a shallow peace. I mean, you could do that. You could just go have some fun or go and take this or take that or dive into a book or do that. And then, hey, there's nothing wrong with fun times. There's nothing wrong with entertainment. There's nothing wrong with novels per se, but whenever that is your go-to to relieve yourself from the anxieties of life, then that is an issue. Because that's a shallow peace. It won't last. The God of peace wants to give you his peace, but you have to be willing to do what is clearly laid out in Scripture. It's clearly laid out in this text tonight. And as we go through these simple truths in the text, it might be that you don't struggle with all of these things. Just a list of things, a quick list of, I believe it's five different things that he tells that church to do. And it could be that you get to one like, oh, that one's easy, I don't got it. But I just want you to don't just check out, because if you're having this unrest and you're having this anxiety and you're having this stress, then I can guarantee you that it is one of those things. It's one of these things, because he says, he lists them all, and really, verse 7 kind of is the other side, the predicate really of this thought. And it says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall, that's a powerful word, shall, that means it will happen. The peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then verse 9, the end of it, and the God of peace shall be with you. And so if the God of peace is not with you, and if the peace of God is not keeping your heart, then what we know is that you're not doing one of these things. Because it says if you do these, the peace of God shall be with you. Understand? So it has to be these things. We have to be willing to honestly examine ourselves before God and see if we're really staying true to these simple truths that are in this text. And we talked about it, but if you look at verse 1 again, Paul told these believers to stand fast in the Lord. That means that they need to be strong and to hold their ground. And that means that the Christian life, living the Christian life, it can be difficult at times, and that the Christian life would bring times of difficulty into their life. It would bring that. And that they could have easily allowed for those difficult times to overwhelm them and to cause them to be worried and stressed and have that inner unrest and anxiety that's in them. But Paul wanted to give them some ways to overcome the anxiety that they're going to be no doubt dealing with down the road. Okay, so let's just jump into it. The first one is found in verse 4. The first way that Paul admonished the Philippian believers was to do this, to allow God to remove their anxiety, was to rejoice at all times. Verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord alway. That means all the time, no matter what's happening in your life, to rejoice in the Lord, and he just emphasizes it. And again, I say rejoice all the time, no matter what's going on. And we can't forget the context of this, that Paul is in prison. And he says, you need to rejoice all the time. Rejoice. Now, he didn't say this, be happy all the time. He didn't say, you know, always go through life with a big smile on your face. Because I would imagine that maybe when Paul was chained up, he didn't have a smile on his face. Maybe he wasn't happy about the circumstance he was going through. But happiness, and you have to understand this, rejoicing and happiness are totally different things. Happiness depends on what is happening. Understand? That's not what we're looking for. Now, that's what we think we're looking for. And happiness can mask our anxiety for a while until that happiness is gone. But rejoicing is something that is abiding. Rejoicing is something that will always be there because your rejoicing is based upon God. Your rejoicing is based upon the fact, on truths, on timeless truths that will not change, that God is real and that he is in control and that God loves you and he knows exactly what you're going through, whether you're, like we sang about tonight, the promises of God are true, whether you're in the valley or whether you're on the mountain. And it's things that is not fleeting. It are things that do not change. And it doesn't correlate with what's happening in your life. We need to have joy no matter what's happening. So like you find out that you have cancer. You know what you need to do? You need to be able to rejoice. You know why? Because God is still on the throne and he's still in control. And I know that God knows what I'm going through and he loves me and I know that his plan is perfect. If you would really fast, I don't do this often, but turn to James because he really explains how this is possible. James chapter 1. I want you guys to see this. Now James, he's writing to a group of Jewish Christians that are being heavily persecuted, big-time persecuted. And some are being killed, and others have just been driven out of their homes. And it's a hard time for them. And in James chapter 1, this is his advice to those that are really struggling and having a difficult time. He doesn't pat them on the back and say, you know, think happy thoughts or anything like that. This is what he tells them. He says this, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That means whenever you're going through a difficult time, count it every single time you go through a hard time, count it joy. Why? Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then he goes on, and I'll just read it, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so he says this, look, you can flip back to Philippians. Whenever you're going through a hard time, a difficult time, you know, it's easy to rejoice when you are happy. It's easy to rejoice when things are going well. That's not the issue. To rejoice always, the issue there are the times when it's hard to rejoice. When you're having a difficult time. And you need to rejoice at those times. And why is that? James spelt it out, that God can use those difficult times to work patience within you and to build your faith and to help you to become a more complete and a more entire Christian. And that's really what we're after, if we're thinking right. We want to go be closer to God. We want to have our faith strengthened. And we know if we're thinking right, when we're going through a hard time, this is what we can be sure of. God wants to use this in my life. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that God caused all of those things. God doesn't make bad things happen in our life always. But what we do know is God can every single time use those things in our life to bring us closer to him. And so rejoice in the Lord always. And if you're not rejoicing in the Lord always, then that is going to be a area in your life where you are vulnerable to anxiety. When you allow the difficult times in your life to overwhelm you and to cause you to stop rejoicing and to cause you to forget who God is and forget that he is in control and forget that he loves you and forget that he wants to use these things in your life, whenever you forget those things, then it can be a source of anxiety and an inner unrest. So it could be that. If you're here tonight and you're struggling with anxiety, that could be why. It's because you're not choosing to rejoice, which is abiding and not fleeting, always remembering the fact of who God is. That's the first one. Number 2. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. That verse is used a lot. Everything in moderation. That's not necessarily true. Let's not like kill in moderation, or hey, let's not drink in moderation. Let's not lie in moderation, right? That's not what the verse is talking about. I just want you to know that. Get that out of your mind. It's not. That's not how it works. What he's talking about there, moderation is how you act. He's talking about your way you live, your countenance. And it's this. It's a gentle countenance. It's a moderate. It means this, reasonable. Have a reasonable and gentle countenance. And what's it say there? Be moderate. Where is that? Let your moderation, your gentle countenance, your reasonable countenance be known unto all men. You know what the implication there is? Hey, it's pretty easy to be gentle and reasonable and peaceable to people who you agree with and that automatically are reasonable with you and that people that aren't going to make you upset. But it's hard to be reasonable and gentle to those who are, you know, those people. I don't even need to get into it. You know what I'm talking about. Where you run into those people, and whenever you see those people, it's like, and your reasonable is gone. Your logic is gone. You're not thinking right, and you're just going to respond in a way that is not reasonable and not gentle. Yep. And I don't even know if I have to labor on that one. We know exactly what that's like. And maybe if you're just the kind that wants to just always put somebody down, just examine yourself here. That maybe you're the one that wants to, you know, I feel good whenever I put somebody else down. And whenever someone is feeling less important than me, then I feel better because I lift myself up by putting them down. Or maybe you're the one that just likes to joke with people in a way that's at their expense. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you make jokes and you think it's funny, but really it's degrading to others, and they'll probably laugh at it just because they don't want to look like that guy who's a wimp, but it's, in the end, it's hurtful, and you that's how you live your life, and that is not a reasonable and gentle countenance to all men. And you'd be surprised the amount of anxiety that kind of lifestyle will bring you. Now, obviously, that's going to bring anxiety to others who are around you. Because you're not going to be one that people want to get along with. And you, hey, will possibly be that guy. That you come in, oh, here's the guy. He's going to, okay, here's the funny joke about me. Here we go. And I know I'm big. Look at me. I know. You're going to tell me. You're going to make a joke. Or something like that, you know. Or it's that guy that comes in and he wants to be not gentle. He wants to be brash. And he wants to just make himself feel good. And they're that guy. Now, it's obviously going to affect others. But you would be surprised the difference it makes in you whenever you set out to not be that guy. Whenever you set out to be the one that is gentle. You ever around a person who's just pleasant? Who doesn't have a cross word to say about you every time you see him? Or about somebody else? Like, you come into work and, you know, the guy's like, oh, that person over there is blah, blah, blah. You know, it causes a spirit within you. But whenever you get to the guy's like, hey, good morning, how you doing, how's your day, blah, blah. If you, that person, you'd be surprised if you decide to be the one who is reasonable and gentle toward all men, the difference it makes within you. Yeah. And there's a certain anxiety that's built up by being the one who isn't moderate, being the one who isn't gentle and isn't reasonable. So that might be the reason for your anxiety tonight. Let's march right through it. Verse 6. He says this, be careful for nothing. And that really, it kind of encapsulates this whole thought. Don't be anxious. Don't have this inner unrest. It says be careful for nothing. It doesn't mean, you know, be carefree and not think about anything. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying don't be overly worried. Don't be anxious is really the literal definition. Be anxious for nothing. Don't have this unrest within you for any reason. And the way that you can deal with it are what we've been talking about. But specifically in verse 6, he says this. But in everything, that means whatever it is that's causing your anxiety, don't be anxious about that. But instead, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, and so that means specific things, that you know are bothering you, you know are causing your anxiety, whether that is the thing that your financial struggle or this or that, that is releasing the tea that's within you. Understand? Releasing that flavor. Whatever that is, bring that to God. Or maybe it's those things we just talked about. Being someone who can rejoice, and you have a struggle with that, and you can't rejoice all the time. Well, you're right about that. You can't do that. And so that's why this is really the centerpiece of this whole text, and it's right there in the middle, because this is what affects the rest of the points here. That nothing that we're going to talk about tonight, you can do in your own strength, and you need to pray to God with supplication and thanksgiving. That means this: God, I know that I can't rejoice all the time. God, I know who I am. God, I know that I fly off the handle when things are difficult. I know whenever it gets stressful, I tend to be anxious and worried and stressed out, and it's even visible in my life. Lord, I know that I'm one who is crass and rude and wanting to not be a moderate person. You know who I am. And with supplication means this: God, I need you. God, I need your help with this. God, maybe I'm facing that financial struggle. God, I know that you're in control. And maybe you're having an issue trusting him with that. Maybe you're struggling trusting that God really is in control and that he really does care. And what you need to do, you need to go to him and say, God, help me, settle me. Help me to really, truly have faith that you are in control in this thing and you know what's going on. Or that guy walks in that you don't want to be moderate to. God, I need you for this. I can't do this. And with supplication. And then it says this: with thanksgiving. You know what that means? Thank him in advance. Saying, God, I'm coming before you, and I know that you're going to help me. And thank you for that. Thank you for being a God who hears my supplication and will help me to overcome this issue that I'm struggling with. And that sentiment is actually echoed in James 1. We won't go back there, but the verse right after the ones we read about having joy, count it all joy, that right after that he says, and if any man lack wisdom, ask of it of God who giveth liberally. So if you're not going to be able to do this unless you ask God, and he wants to give you this wisdom to overcome your anxiety. He wants to give you this peace. He's the God of peace. And you need to come to him. And it's not going to happen otherwise. With supplication. Not just like, hey, okay, God, I know I'm supposed to pray, so here you go. No. Supplication. Like, get on your knees and in your heart on your knees and say, God, I need you. And God, I know that you can do this. And don't make excuses. Don't be like, I know he's saying that. I can't do it. I tried. It's just who I am. Yeah, it is who you are. That's the issue. Yeah, that's who we all are. Yeah, and that's who everybody else is too, which makes it even more difficult. And we need him to help us. We need it. And he will. So thank him for that, because we don't deserve it. And be specific. Let your requests be known unto God. Say, God, I know I struggle with this. And God, I know it's who I am. And God, I know if I try to do it myself, I'm probably going to stress myself out even more. And I need you. Yeah, be specific. But it doesn't stop there. I think that is really the centerpiece of what he wants. And whenever you do that, verse 7 happens. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And you won't understand how you're able to suddenly be able to deal with that guy. Or you don't understand how you're suddenly going to be okay with the situation that you're in, that you find yourself in. It won't be something that you said, wow, I went out there and worked for it, and I really, you know, took all these classes that taught me how to do this. No, it won't be that. It'll pass all human understanding and human reasoning. God, the God of peace, will give you that peace. It'll be without understanding. And it'll keep your heart. It'll guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Your inner unsettled inner inside will become settled. Make sense? Yeah. So there's two more. That kind of covers all the five of these things. But verse 8, the third thing that he tells them to do. Actually, this is the fourth thing. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." So Paul admonished them to say this. He said, if you want to have the anxiety removed from your life, then you need to think on good and godly things. You need to start thinking about, and just think on, that means to meditate and to really think about things and mull these things over, are things that are true, and things that are honest, and things that are just, and things that are pure and lovely and of good report. It says, meditate on those things. Let those things dominate your thinking. And if you're honest with yourself, what do you think about? What does mull through your mind? We tend to mull in our mind things that are vile, things that are wicked, things that make us angry, things that are not pure. That's what we tend to think about. And if you're mulling over your bitterness or your anger, or you're mulling over the movie that you watched with the wicked messages in them and the wicked images that you've been seeing and the wicked music that's been infiltrating your mind, if you're allowing these influences to come inside of you and to influence your mind and to influence what you think on, then how do you expect to have peace? Cannot. It will not happen. If you want to have true, lasting peace that you don't have to keep coming back to and putting masks on and putting something else on to cover it up and cover it up, then you need to change what you think on. And if you want to change what you think on, you need to change what influences what you think about. And maybe consider the movies that you watch or the TV shows that you watch or, hey, the people that you hang out with, the ones that influence you. Watch your influences. Watch the music you listen to. Is it music that is given to anger and sensuality? Well, what do you think you're going to think on? Hey, it influences your mind, and it'll cause you to think about those things. If you're watching a TV show that's based on filth, hey, there's a lot out there. And you might think, come on, it's not a big deal. It's just a TV show. No, it's a big deal. It's what you're sitting there absorbing, and you can't but help think about those things. And if you're thinking about things that are not true, and not honest, and not just, and not pure, and not lovely, and not of good report, if you're thinking about things that are crude, and vile, and wicked, and cause you to be angry and bitter, then you are inviting anxiety into your inner man. You are inviting unrest within you, because the God of peace cannot give you peace if you're thinking about those things. He cannot. He wants to. God wants to give you peace, but as long as you're allowing yourself to think and ponder about these things that are ungodly and not good, it's going to cause within you anxiety. Yep. Last one, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And so the Apostle Paul was the one who planted this church. The Apostle Paul, hey, they didn't have the New Testament yet. He was writing it. He's the one that taught them the Word of God. He's the one that gave them the Word of God through his Word, through his example, through his actions. And he says, those things that you've learned of me and received of me, the Word of God, those things that you know you're supposed to do, do those. And what will happen? And the God of peace shall be with you. It could be tonight that you know God wants you to do something. You've received it from him in some way. You've seen it, you've heard it, whatever it is. But you know God wants you to do this, and maybe you're refusing to do it. You know what that's going to bring? Has to. Anxiety. Because you're fighting God. And you know what God wants you to do, and you say, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, what Paul just said, whatever the things that you've received of me and learned of me, do those things. Do them. God loves you. God cares about you. He knows what you need, and he's going to show you what you need to do. And if as long as you refuse to do what you know to do, you're going to have anxiety in your life. Yep. You know what will happen after that? After you finally give in and do what God wants you to do, he'll give you something else to do. That's how he works. He doesn't unload on you. Because everything is wrong with you. No, he'll give you something. And you know, this is what God wants me to do. He's still working on me. You ever heard that song? He's still working on me. He's going to give you something to work on, give you something to work on. And as long as you know what God wants you to do, and you say, no, I'm not going to do it, then you are inviting anxiety into your life. Yep. And then there they are. It's as clear as that. Anxiety, it's not fun. And it's something that we all struggle with. It is. Anxiety is something that we all at times will struggle with, but it doesn't have to be that way. And God doesn't want that for you. You can live a life free from anxiety. The God of peace shall be with you, and the peace of God shall guard and shall keep your hearts. It's a promise. It shall happen, because God said so. And I don't care who tells you otherwise, no matter who's in your life that's trying to say, no, you had this happen to you, or that happened to you, or this thing is this way, or this thing is that way. No. God says, the peace of God shall be with you, and the God of peace, the one who created you, the one who created your brain and created your body, will give you peace if you submit to those things, if you submit to rejoice always. You might say, no, people rejoice because they have peace. No, my friend, it's the other way around. They rejoice always, and then they have peace because of that. Rejoice always. Or to have a gentle countenance. You might say that. Well, look, people are gentle. People are not crass because they have peace. You were thinking wrong about these things. Peace comes as a result of rejoicing. Peace comes as a result of having a gentle countenance and of praying to God and asking for help and for thinking on good things, thinking on godly things, and doing what you know to do. If you do those things, then God promises that the God of peace shall be with you. Yep. He wants to give you peace. You just got to let him. Let the God of peace remove your anxiety. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us so much to do these things for us, Lord, that you know exactly who we are, Lord. Thank you for knowing us, knowing our name, knowing the hairs on our head. Lord, you know exactly the struggles that we have on the inside. Lord, it could be that nobody in the world knows the things that we deal with, but Lord, we know that you do. And Lord, we know that you care for us. We know that you created us, and we know that you know what's best. Lord, we know that you want to remove the anxiety in our lives. Help us to trust you. Lord, help us to submit to whatever you want us to do tonight. In Christ's name I pray.